Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Told you we wanted to find a budgetary when it was brought to us at the Citizens Advisory Committee. We found out it was roughly going to be about $300,000. There is money to do it now if the council wants to appropriate that. We told the committee we would bring that item forward. We need to figure out what items were going to cost funding and how we would do it.
$300,000 for something from the Citizens Police Advisory Committee. What's he talking about? Oh no, 300 grand for...
It's fairly significant in the sense that at the police side, we have two badges. Everybody has a badge on their hat and their person. And
this is for logo changes. This is for getting rid of the Confederate flag off of the PPD crest on both badges and other insignia. $300,000.
And those aren't necessarily that cheap. But you know, we understood what the recommendation was. It'll be the same badge with a Florida flag rather than the Confederate flag. I mean, like we've done everywhere else.
There you go. So the push is on, or the idea has been provided, because the mayor said that he would allow CPAC to bring their recommendations forth. And here you go. Here's your choice: $250,000, not just short of. It's like $290,000 or something like that. $290,000 to replace all of the PPD insignia that have the Confederate flag and replace them with what is used elsewhere in the city now, the Florida flag, as opposed to the Confederate flag. What do you think? 437-1620. Would you vote yes or vote no if you were on city council for a $300,000 revamp of the brand? Now, this came up in the city council. That was at the press conference yesterday morning. This came up. By the way, can I say what I think everybody's thinking? How on earth can it be $300,000 to do new badges for everybody? That just seems steep. I mean, do they come with, you know, gold plating? Just like if you think about the number of officers and then you divide, you know, there's two badges per officer. I mean, it sounds like you're paying $1,000 a piece for these things. I mean, I'm not saying the number is wrong. I looked in the backup for the city council agenda to see if there was any breakout of the cost schedule, and I couldn't find one. So I don't know why it's $300,000 as opposed to something more like, I don't know, $10,000, $20,000. 300 just seems, you know, you're going to buy a new house worth of new badges. Okay, fine. 437-1620. This came up again in the city council agenda review, but it came up in a slightly different context, because after we had the discussion about the Pensacola Police Department badges, then the question was raised by Councilwoman Tania de Broughton. Hey, doesn't the fire department have a Confederate flag on their badge too?
The amount of things they had, the badge itself was never that way. The police badge was. It has both a personal badge and a hat badge. So there are some things that aren't comparable at all, but she can speak to some of those things that they did at Pensacola Fire Department.
So the cost of doing PFD is different from the cost of doing PPD because of the number of badges, number of people, and all of that. But nevertheless, Ginny Craner, the chief of the Pensacola Fire Department, really good lady, was there to explain a little bit what they've been doing for a while now.
We began working on a redesign of our logo in 2020. We started changing digital items and things that we could as soon as our logo was approved. And as the mayor mentioned, our badge does not have that enameled multicolor logo on it that the police badges do. So it is much different. So we're working on our vehicles as we can through the budget. And any of our new vehicles that come in, of course, will have the new logo on them.
So they've already been doing this at the Pensacola Fire Department. If you look online, their logo does have the Florida flag instead of the Confederate flag on it. 437-1620. Good idea, bad idea? What do you think? By the way, I got a text in from a friend who says, don't forget you also have to do all of the change of the badges on the cruisers as well for the cars. Okay, fair enough, fair enough.
No, sir, we have less uniformed personnel. And as I said, their badges have to be three times the cost of these or more. And we have less vehicles because of less uniform personnel. So we have less items to rebrand.
There you go. So less stuff, less cost involved when you're talking about the Pensacola Fire Department. Text in here says, vote no. This is ludicrous. Somebody here says, it's not every badge. It's every uniform patch. It's the decals on every vehicle. It's every plaque and painting at the police department. Says, yep, $300,000 sounds about right. Do you think that's a good expense to pay? Now, I will tell you, for those of you who, you know, are like, oh, good Lord, again? Right? I understand. I liked the old logo. I'm a northerner who feels like the South was the losing side, okay? You know, I was raised that, you know, the good guys won. So things that are Confederate are not, I don't like them particularly. I'm just telling you my own personal view, okay? Since moving to the South and talking to a lot of people, I understand that, you know, there are many different perspectives on this insignia, but that's my own personal view. When I see a Confederate flag, I don't like it, okay? But I thought we should have kept the five flags. I've said this all along. I don't like changing the history. You know, it's not like the Spanish and the French were these great, wonderful virtues, you know, virtuous people. So in context, based on our history, I think all of them make sense. Okay, that's just so you know where I'm coming from if you're new to the show. But this notion of, like, eradicating our history, even when it's ugly history, even if it's bad history, I'm not a fan. So people, and I know it feels like, again, another one. And of course, the other side, the advocates of cleansing, will say, yeah, I mean, you got to get rid of it everywhere. I mean, if it's worth getting rid of anywhere, it's worth getting rid of everywhere. But there was one more piece of this that happened yesterday that you knew this was coming, but did you know it was coming this week? I'll tell you about that coming up here in just a second. So I mentioned to you before the break, as we were talking in the context of the price tag for changing out all of the logos and insignia and badges for the Pensacola Police Department, City of Five Flags, now City of Four and a Half Flags, going to the Florida flag instead of the Confederate flag. I mentioned that there was another one that you didn't you know somewhere deep inside that this day was coming. I just didn't expect it to come this week. City Council agenda review session yesterday. Council Chairman, Jared Moore.
We should have an add-on here at our place.
By the way, this is not his add-on. He's just reading it. That's his job, is to read it. This is not his add-on.
Here at our place, the subject being the removal of William Dudley Chipley Obelisk. So I believe we need a motion and a second to move forward with some discussion on whether to add this item or not.
So that's the obelisk in the middle of Plaza Ferdinand, because it's dedicated to Chipley, who's got a really checkered past at the best. That's the nicest way you can say it. And so, you know, the question is, should that be removed? Well, this came up in the City Council agenda review and...
All right, so we have a motion.
No second.
All right, so with no second, I believe the add-on then dies for lack of a second.
Dies for lack of a second. Nobody wanted to be the person to be the second of the... And it turns out who... Davis, you know City Council politics. You want to take a stab at this? You want to take a stab at who it was?
Oh,
who's
okay.
The most contrary, most upsettest, all the time, loudest voice? Sherry Myers. That's right. So she brought this forward. It died for lack of a second. Now, I will tell you what I think is going to happen. I think what happened is this didn't go through a big staff analysis. And so it was, you know, and it's not time sensitive. It's not exigent circumstances, which is typically what justifies an add-on. So I'll tell you what I think is going to happen is I think this is going to go through the process and come back in the next meeting in 2 weeks. So you'll actually have this on the agenda is my expectation. And certainly I think she would push for that. So, and we'll see. I'm just glad because this means that the city council meeting on Thursday won't be a 5-hour circus, which it will be if they take up the issue of removing for $500,000, over $400,000, the Chipley Obelisk at Plaza Ferdinand. 623 News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Mark Jacobs is in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
Word this morning from Montgomery, Alabama. Police investigating a shooting that sent seven people to the hospital overnight. Police say officers responded to a local hospital after getting word they were treating gunshot victims, seven people, non-life-threatening gunshot wounds. No other information is available this morning. A deadly shooting at a high school in Russia. At least nine people killed, several others injured in today's attack. Details still coming in. Some reports say a gunman has also been taken into custody. And you can have these back. Mission Impossible star Tom Cruise returning his three Golden Globes in protest, sent them back to the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, which of course has been accused of corruption and lack of diversity. NBC even going so far as to cancel next year's ceremony.
They're actually canceled. I mean, when we talk about
cancel
culture.
Well, when they say canceled, NBC's not going to air them.
Right, right. But that's actually a cancellation. I mean, it's an industry term, is that they've been canceled.
Yeah, so. Right.
And there was a proposal online to have Ricky Gervais just do a roast of, which would
that
be
might be entertaining.
That'd be great, actually.
Yeah. Somebody's going to object to me saying this, but his answer was, I know what we should call them, the Golden Balls. Golden Globes. All right, I'm going to move on. I'm going to move on.
Moving on. 24.
Just picturing that trophy right now.
That's right.
No.
Yeah, that's right.
No.
Maybe not, because it's, I'm not going to, I'm not, anyway. 624 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Somebody says here about the flag, if slavery is issue, all the flags on the badge have to go, right? Somebody here says that with the flags gone, one day the South will be the North. Social justice, fix the North, go back. Somebody here says, let's see, I know this has to be done with the changing of the logos, but what a waste of money. Couldn't they just have someone make a black sticker to go over the offending emblem? Black sticker would be, yeah, no. Much better use of our money. Sure, understand that. 437-1620. Oh, we're getting some information in here, too, about gas stations. And what was the one that somebody just said? Oh, the Tom Thumb at the corner of Blue Angel and Sorrento is open. There's already a small line. I told you before, Davis mentioned that the BJ's had a line starting at 5 a.m. They had gas yesterday and they were getting a truck in this morning. So theoretically, if you remember, they will have gas, but you cannot go through the parking lot. You do have to go in off of Creighton. I would expect that line to be significant. I would almost be surprised if ECSO doesn't put a cruiser out there to try to kind of control that, because it was a problem. Remember Sally? After Sally, we went through this, and it was a problem. 437-1620, 437-1620. The other thing I was going to mention to you is that we've been doing this listener advisory board, which is a news radio, you know, devoted listeners who want to have input on programming and take a survey related to what we do here on news radio. And your responses will play a vital role in the content that you hear every day. And if you want to be a member of the news radio listening or advisory board, basically the deadline's today to be a member of this, because we're sending the survey out at 9:30. So you can sign up at newsradio923.com/listener advisory board. newsradio923.com/listener advisory board. This is one of the pet projects that Davis has been working on diligently for many, many weeks now.
And
so
it's finally going
yay,
out.
Yay, tomorrow it's all over, except for then you got to look at all the surveys.
And then the surveys.
That's right.
That's just part two.
That's exactly right. That's a payoff, really.
I'm Jennifer Kishenko with Your Money Now. Pentagon officials are considering pulling the plug on the Star-Crossed Jedi cloud computing project, which has been mired in litigation from Amazon and faces continuing criticism from lawmakers. The Joint Enterprise Defense Infrastructure contract was awarded to Microsoft in 2019 over Amazon, which has contested the award in court ever since. A federal judge last month refused the Pentagon's motion to dismiss much of Amazon's case. A few days later, Deputy Defense Secretary Kathleen Hicks said the department would review the project. Ford will unveil its new all-electric F-150 Lightning truck next Wednesday. The reveal from Michigan will be broadcast live across more than 30 outlets, including Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and sites in New York City's Times Square on Las Vegas Boulevard. Ford will begin production on the new F-150 Lightning next spring. On Wall Street, futures are lower after tech shares skidded yesterday. The NASDAQ fell 350. That's Your Money Now.
AM 1620.
There's never going to be a time where there will be zero COVID in the world, because you look back, pathogens that were here 100 years ago are still here, but obviously we're in a much better place to be able to deal with it. I think the chance of hospitals being overwhelmed is functionally zero here in Florida and anywhere in the United States.
Governor DeSantis yesterday, during a press briefing that really didn't have anything to do with all of this, but, you know, in the Q&A session, obviously, afterwards, is going to get asked questions about this and where do we stand with regards to COVID? Well, as you said, it's never going to go to zero. The mayor's been saying the same thing. Everybody's been saying the same thing, that it's going to linger around just like you have the, you know, other variants of, I mean, we have influenza lingering around for 100 years. You know, it's just, this is how it goes. We develop a kind of immunity as a society, as a species. We've had vaccines, we have treatments, and, you know, you learn to go about your daily life and not worry about it too much.
Remember, that was the whole basis for doing the 15 days to slow the spread, was because they said all the hospitals, you know, you'd have thousands of people that wouldn't ever be able to have hospital beds in all these cities in the United States. Fortunately, that never happened. That never came to pass. And if it didn't come to pass when there was no vaccine and no immunity, I think the chance that that would come to pass going forward is pretty close to zero.
Yeah, remember, that was the whole idea. A lot of the stuff that we did, remember when 15 days to stop the spread? That was, as you could do the math here, that was 430 days ago, you know, so it hasn't gone exactly according to plan. But that whole idea was to protect hospital capacity, because you had the issue of people dying from the disease as a fear. But then if you have too many people overwhelming the capacity of hospitals to take care of them, then the danger to people both with and without the disease grows exponentially from there. It's much worse if you have hospital and treatment capacity. You know, you can keep the harm under control. And, you know, keeping people alive who would otherwise, you know, if you don't have that capacity, would otherwise die. That was the whole idea. And we had seen this happen in some other places, right? So that was a concern. But now that's not an issue. We have therapies, we have treatments, we have, you know, hospital capacity, we have the vaccine, obviously. And when you put all of this together...
No, it doesn't go away. People just need to understand that. Yes, you have the ability to protect yourself. And yes, clearly, our hospital infrastructure is going to be more than adequate to deal with whatever happens going forward.
And I'll just tell you, look, as a guy who's been vaccinated and I'm plus 14 days now, a week or not 5 days ago, I'm loving the not wearing a mask. I always supported the mask, but I always hated the mask. As anybody, I mean, nobody likes wearing a mask. Well, maybe some people. I don't know. But like, for example, yesterday at the store, and by the way, Walmart, you don't have to wear a mask at Walmart anymore. If you haven't been vaccinated, I still recommend you do it. But I know that those of you who won't, you're not going to do it because I say so. So, okay, we're at this impasse. But you don't have to wear one anymore, which is nice because I asked. You know, I want to be deferential to their rules on their private property. And it was nice to be able to walk around. And I realized something that I knew all along. But I'm a smiler. I like to smile at people. And I smile at people a lot. Strangers all the time. You know, not creepy, like friendly. I realized how much that's a part of my interaction with people all the time and how much it stinks to not be able to do that effectively through a mask. So, you know, just one more little thing. Go get vaccinated. Then you can smile at people. Oh, by the way, if you're in England, you can hug people. it's amazing what you forget other governments, even Western free governments, will think of as their rules to tell people how to live their lives. Apparently in the UK, it's been, what, illegal, I guess? I don't know. That hugs are going to be allowed in less than a week. They're giving you a countdown, the 1 week to a hug countdown. People in England will be able to give friends and family a hug for the first time since restrictions were put in place in March last year. Now, they're being cautious about this. Boris Johnson is saying, yeah, they've given ahead for the guidance to allow hugs. Man, it's amazing. But still, stay vigilant, because person-to-person contact, physical contact, is one of the ways. He says in the easing next week, Johnson said that here's the rules. Here's the new hug rules in the UK. Six people or two households, even if the total is higher, will be able to mix inside homes as well as in pubs and restaurants. The limits on outdoor gatherings raised to 30 people. Indoor entertainment activities like cinemas, soft play areas. What does that mean? Kids areas, I guess. Adult play sports. Exercise classes and hotels are also allowed to reopen Monday. Exercise classes and hotels are reopening in the UK Monday. and students won't have to wear face coverings in class. Hey, come to Florida. You know, just it's going to be okay. 437-1620, 437-1620. Meanwhile, Alabama says that they are no longer going to participate in a whole range of all the federal unemployment pandemic programs. KIV announced this yesterday. The federal pandemic unemployment compensation, an additional $300 a week. They're not going to do that anymore. Pandemic unemployment assistance, which is benefits for extra people who wouldn't normally be covered. Pandemic emergency unemployment compensation, which is an extension of benefits past their normal expiration time. And the mixed earner unemployment compensation, all these acronyms, the FPUC, the PUA, the PEUC, and the MEUC. I would pronounce these, but I would run dangerously close to saying words I shouldn't say on the radio, with some of them with their acronyms, which provides an additional $100 benefit to certain people with mixed earnings, all going away. They're going to stop using all of that stuff. Why? Got to find out if they can fill the jobs. Nobody's filling these jobs. And they think with an unemployment rate of 3.8%, this is the trick. Now, here, this is something people might not understand. And I know I sometimes explain things that, like, for some of you, you think, oh, God, that's so obvious. Okay, well, not for everybody. How is it that we can have such a low unemployment rate and still not be able to fill jobs? Because the definition of the unemployment rate is people seeking work that don't have it. It's always a funny definition of the unemployment rate because it's the people seeking work but not having it. And the people who stop seeking work don't count in your unemployment rate. So if you really want to get a better metric, you have to compare the number of jobs divided by the number of people who, let's say, have been working in the last 5 years or something. You know, you have to relativize it to some more realistic number because under the pandemic, lots of people have stopped working, and not just because they're drawing unemployment. These are people who have left looking for work entirely. Women, largely. In fact, I heard a term yesterday I had not heard before. Somebody called it a she session because it has so adversely affected women, which is true. In the entertainment and service industry, it's a higher percentage of females. Classes, teachers being closed around the country, people who cannot get reliable child care or the kids are not in school, all of those things, it's definitely worse for women. And so basically, even though the unemployment number is very low, that unemployment number is a misunderstanding of the nature of the market because so many people are not seeking work or are taking pandemic benefits or whatever. So they're going to see what's going to happen. By the way, they're not the only state doing this. North Dakota is going to do the same thing. North Dakota is also ending participation in all federal unemployment assistance programs. This is going to be a really interesting opportunity to see how this works for Alabama and for North Dakota. Unknown yet whether we will join suit in taking that same exact step. And one last thing on the pandemic since we're here. Pfizer has been approved for children down to the age of 12. Moderna's working on the same thing. They're in trials. AstraZeneca, which has not yet got its EUA from the FDA, is already doing trials younger. So that may be coming anytime. We've been waiting on this AstraZeneca vaccine for a long time now. So we'll see. You know, we'll see if people are doing it. I'm not sure that a lot of people are going to vaccinate their kids at this point, but that's been the hope, is that more, especially down to the age of like 12, because that junior high and high school or middle school and high school age is at least somewhat vulnerable, certainly to contracting the disease, not necessarily to having serious outcomes from it. 647 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. It still strikes me as the dumbest thing that we keep doing this 30 days at a time. The governor has said from the beginning that until that bridge is back to its original full functionality of one span, two lanes, that the toll would be suspended.
5 till 9 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
For gallon gas, 298. Florida average, 287. Furnace Creek, California, 554. San Antonio, Texas, 209. Here locally, we normally tell you all the best gas prices. I cannot decipher who's got and who does not in the various locations. So I'm going to tell you places that we've got reports of there being gas. And I'll tell you, Circle K seems to be the winner right now, where several local Circle Ks are, we're getting reports that they have gas. The Circle K at A and Garden Street in Pensacola. The Circle K on Highway 98 in Gulf Breeze, but not the Gulf Breeze Mart, the Circle K at the Shell Circle K up on 9 Mile and University, and then the Murphy on US 29 are all places that we've got reports in that they have gas. BJ's, they got a gas shipment in this morning. They're open now for about 25 minutes, if you're a member, obviously. Did I miss any, Davis? Any other ones stand out to you?
On Barrancas, the Raceway. So it's a raceway, right?
Raceway on Barrancas.
It's just as you're getting off the Bayou Chico Bridge.
Oh, over there. Okay.
Going
okay.
Westbound.
Okay, very good. And beyond that, I mean, a lot of places don't have gas. And, you know, there are reasons why. We'll get to that maybe in a bit. The short version is the pipeline and panic buying and trucker shortage. And there's a gas distribution center here in Pensacola that's been shut down by the Department of Agriculture for failing their EPA test. So if you want to blame somebody, blame Nikki Free. maybe. Mark Jacobs in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
Tragedy unfolding in Russia. At least 11 people dead in a school shooting. Most of the victims' children, several others hurt. Two teenage gunmen reportedly opened fire. One killed, the other in custody. Witnesses report an explosion during the attack before the gunfire started. Israel calling up 5,000 reserve troops as violence escalates. Middle East country launching airstrikes, killing 24 people in Gaza, coming after Gaza reportedly fired more than 200 rockets toward Israel, most of them intercepted. Small business owners staying positive amid the pandemic for the third month in a row. The Small Business Optimism Index is up, sales slowly growing, but it could go faster if owners could hire more workers. Said to be lots of them raising pay and offering bonuses just to get people in the door.
All right, Mark, thanks for the update. By the way, just a quick clarification. The Circle K on Highway 98, somebody says it's open, but Gulf Breeze proper not. Then I got a conflicting report that says Circle K in Gulf Breeze is out, so I'm not sure what to tell you there, okay? Because those are two different ones, I think. I think so.
When you say Gulf Breeze, sometimes
you have to be specific. I know, it's such a wide space, right? So, Davis Allen, time for a quick shot of sports.
Well, today is a big day for Pensacola baseball, as the Pensacola Blue Wahoos are going to be hosting the Birmingham Barons at Blue Wahoo Stadium.
Hopefully.
I know I checked the rain. It's about a 40% chance of rain around first pitch, 40 to 30%, which, I mean, I like those odds. And then it clears up as the night goes on. So if I can take a guess, we're going to have baseball, and it would be at 6:35. If you can't go for some reason, you can listen to the game on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM and 99.1 FM. That's our sister station, and I'll be on air. So you'll get to hear me on the call along with Steve Nissim. So that's going to be exciting. Also, Tim Tebow, go Gators. Tim Tebow, who former quarterback of the Florida Gators, also was a quarterback in the NFL and played minor league baseball while he's back in the NFL. He's expected to sign a one-year contract with the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's from Jacksonville, and the head coach of Jacksonville was his college head coach, Urban Meyer. That's your quick shot of sports. Now rolling this into your traffic on the fives. As we're noticing on Garcon Point Bridge northbound, we're seeing some delays that are starting to back up until you get through that toll plaza. Once you're through the toll plaza, you're going to hit Avalon delays northbound around Shady Bayou Road. Gulf Breeze Parkway flowing smoothly, as well as Navarre Parkway. Also, I-10, I-110, and the front gate of NAS Pensacola all checking and clear. And Andrew, to add to your list of gas stations that do have gas, the Circle K and Shell station at the corner of Blue Angel and Mobile Highway.
And Raceway on North Davis.
And Raceway.
Right by I-10.
Yes, Raceway on North Davis.
If you notice, not by I-10, by 9 miles, sorry.
If you notice anything else, by the way, give me a call at 2626-111. I'm Davis Allen with the traffic on the fives.
.658 Future News, Davis. When will gas get back to normal here in town?
You know what? Something tells me later on today.
I really think today or tomorrow, honestly. I think it's going to be relatively short-lived. When will that fuel terminal be back in operation?
End of the week?
I hope. Yeah, I hope. Train stop today? Will we have a train interfering with everything today?
Please, no. No, 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 no.
I think this week, though. I just don't know which day. Will lots of kids get vaccinated now that the age has been lowered to 12 for the Pfizer?
No.
I also think not that many. Will we replace the PPD badges?
Yes.
Yeah, but I don't think yet. I don't think they're willing to spend $300,000 on this. And will Dan Shebler still be hitting his job today?
Yes.